You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I gotta tell you, she's pathetic, that smug, disrespectful attitude. In addition to apologizing to the men and women who serve, how about apologizing to the victims and the victims' families? What she doesn't know that I know, I've had a chance to speak with so many victims throughout my career who are touched by this. And so to laugh it off, look, the number one responsibility of a president is the safety of its American citizens, a governor, the safety of those in the state, and to just blow it off is pathetic.
Pathetic. February 1, 2022, those are the words of James Craig. He is the former Detroit police chief, now running for governor in Michigan. That was his response when he said pathetic, just blowing off the issue about crime being a concern of American citizens. He's referring to Jen Psaki. Yeah, she was doing a podcast recently, and the issue about crime came up and the coverage of it, and she started mocking it. So look at all the, I have in my office, like many people do, I've got four screens up here. Look at them right now, all these four screens. You see all these different reports from different networks, CNN, MSNBC, so forth. And look at that. And she pointed to Fox, I'm sure, and said, look, they're talking all about crime. Everybody else talking about Russia, everything else. See, in other words, crime's not a big deal. Crime is the number one concern of Americans, not COVID right now. It's crime. And not Russia and Ukraine. It's crime. But she wants to mock and laugh about it while we have police officers slaughtered and ambushed. Another funeral today, of course, for that other patrolman that was shot down in Harlem. Massive funeral again. Procession for him, honoring him. And I'm sure, like yesterday, we're going to hear from Black Lives Matter activists saying, oh, another tearjerker news conference. Another cop died. So... Or that actress who got all upset that, oh, they shut down Lower Manhattan entirely just because of this. Why would they do that? No honor, no respect for law enforcement. And it begins at the White House. We're going to get into that in more detail. Also, the COVID gods, they're smiling because they still have you fearful as they push vax mandates, mask mandates. And they do whatever the hell they want, and then lie about it. Governor Gavin Newsom caught again when he had said, I made a mistake, it'll never happen again. Full stop my arse. We're going to get into that in more detail. And there's also MSNBC pushing a report. Suddenly MSNBC all concerned about cops dying of COVID. Saying that more died of COVID over the last 2 years than anything else. So much concern, but yet still ignoring the attacks on cops. Ignoring how many have died across the nation, not cops, but in general of our population, 18 to 45, of fentanyl, which is smuggled across our border that has a welcome illegals to the U.S. mat placed by Biden. Russia and China, the talks continue. They're not looking good. I would say Russia and Ukraine, talks continue, not looking so good right now between Russia and U.S. At the same time, Russia and China are warning that if China is watching all this and looking to take an advantage of it, they can, because we cannot fight on both fronts. Dean Chen, heritage China expert, will join us on the Beijing Olympics coming up and all how that's playing out right now. And could these be called the genocide games? And then I want to know your opinion about a punishment for a transsexual assaulting a 10-year-old in a public bathroom. Wait to hear the punishment. See how it weighs in your mind. And it is official now, finally official, Tom Brady announcing he is retiring, seven-time Super Bowl winner. So Tampa Bay's going to need a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick. You want to go try out for this? You want to take a chance at it? Or you just want to sit on the side and say, they didn't call me. They didn't call me because of my color. And I'm a good quarterback. They didn't call me. I could have do that job. Listen, we got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We are live streaming now at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. If you're near your monitor, turn it on. Oh, it's fun. And we've got a great program lined up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Love and happiness. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The United States military does not have the capability it used to have. It doesn't have the capability to fight two wars simultaneously. I'm talking about two major wars, one in the Indo-Pacific region and one in Europe. If China went after Taiwan and then Russia planted troops down in the Baltics, while we have NATO, the United States would not have all the resources it would need to apply effectively to both areas. So, yeah, this has got concern for us, and certainly these two countries understand it.
These two countries that understand that the U.S. does not have the capability to fight war, a major war on two fronts, Russia and China. Those are the words of retired General King as he appeared on Fox, Jack King, and he knows of what he speaks. He knows the military setup and what we have available now and what we can do and what we cannot do. And we're not even talking about the wokeness attitude that has been destroying our troops from inside out. Listen, in the Marines, when I was in, it's a mixture of black and white, Hispanic, some Asians. There were women Marines. I've told you before, they were called BAMs. BAMs for badass Marine. You didn't want to mess with them, for sure. So you don't have to have all this woke culture suddenly saying, we got to have certain quotas of this and that and so forth. And then you want to push, you got to have everything built around homosexuality and transgenderism, and you have everything else that comes in with the woke culture. That demoralizes troops. It doesn't help them. You just want to know that the soldier to your left or your right or behind you or in front of you will do his or her job. And you will look out for each other. But what we have now is all this wokeness. It's basically, we have, again, because of vaccine mandates, having the Navy kick sailors out because they don't want the vaccine because they either fear it or they don't like it or they don't think they need it. U.S. Navy SEALs still fighting their lawsuit saying, we're in perfect health. We don't need any stupid vaccine. We're not at risk categories. But all of that aside, it still comes down to what can you do if you're forced into a conflict? And Russia-Ukraine is the immediate pressing conflict. And here's some new developments coming in. In fact, we have the Russian foreign minister today saying has no reason to believe the phone conversation between two top diplomats, which lasted 30 minutes, they're describing the tone as, quote, professional and fairly candid. I would take that to mean that the U.S. just sat there and listened. Secretary of State Blinken is saying that if Putin, quote, does not intend war or regime change, then it's time to pull back troops and heavy weapons and engage in serious diplomatic discussions. That's supposedly what Blinken told him. Vladimir Putin's response is, the West has ignored Russia's key security concerns. He said Putin is studying the responses. Or rather, Putin himself said, my government is studying responses from the U.S. and NATO to our security demands related to Ukraine. But it's clear our main complaints have been ignored. Speaking at a news conference in a five-hour meeting in Moscow with the Hungarian prime minister beside him, Putin said, quote, it is already clear, and I informed the prime minister, the Hungarian prime minister, that the fundamental Russian concerns were ignored. We did not see an adequate consideration of our three requirements. He added that Russia has not seen adequate consideration regarding NATO expansion, the renunciation of the deployment of strike weapon systems near Russian borders, and the return of the NATO bloc's military infrastructure in Europe to the state of 1997, when the Russia-NATO founding pact was signed. The U.S. and NATO are saying that Putin's demands, which include a promise to never expand westward, including Ukraine, violate NATO's open-door policy. So these are the talks apparently going back and forth. And again, as Winston Churchill said, jaw, 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 not war, war, war. The more you're talking, the less you're likely you're going to have war. But again, back to General King, contributor for Fox News, was asked about Russia is claiming that they're being provoked into this. They're being provoked into this by the U.S. because Russia says the U.S. is not paying attention to our demands, General King.
Russia is saying it's the U.S. that's hysterical about the potential of an invasion. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't think there's too many people that buy into that. I mean, with 130,000 odd Russian troops surrounding Ukraine on three sides and also an ability to access from the Black Sea, I mean, that is not a usual event that's taken place. And certainly to try to put it under the guise of military exercising is really quite far-fetched. So no one's buying that story for sure.
That was his response, of course, to Maria Bartiromo asking the same thing I posed, that Russia claims that, hey, we're not trying to provoke this. It's the U.S. that's doing it. General King's reaction is no one's going to buy that story. It doesn't really make any difference. You do know this. It doesn't make any difference who buys what story. It's what actually happens. And I don't care how we present it, how it's covered. It continues. I'm looking at some of the additional reports that are coming out regarding these talks that they just finished, and there's nothing here at all that indicates there's any reason to look for a de-escalation from where we are at this point. I'm not saying all hope is out. I'm not saying talk should stop. I'm just simply saying there's nothing I'm seeing here that indicates there's going to be anything easily resolved at this point. In fact, Putin is quoted as saying, finding a Ukraine solution, quote, is not going to be easy. He said, I hope we will eventually find a solution. And again, He's saying you can blame the U.S. for all this conflict and issues. General King says, and I agree with him, that's not true. Back your forces away from Ukraine, especially of Belarus. That's one area, apparently, where Ukraine forces have not mustered as Russian troops are gathered in Belarus. And so we have what we saw with when Obama's in office, Russia deciding to, or at least Putin deciding to go back to the old Soviet Union, bring all these countries back in under the control of the USSR. And that's what he's in the process of doing. General King says all the talks can go on and on and on, but there are certain things we could be doing, should be doing. In other words, we need to be proactive.
I've always believed that we should be taking preemptive action to deter an invasion. Even the chairman of the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee, Democratic Senator Menendez, is arguing for sanctions now. Preemptive sanctions, not waiting until an invasion takes place. And that certainly is the common sense things. We've added armament to the Ukrainians. That's a good thing, but they need more anti-air missiles. They need anti-drone missiles. They need anti-ship missiles. They need more things than what we have provided them.
And at least we have provided in this case. I'm going to give Biden credit for this time compared to when Crimea was facing Russia. What the Obama-Biden administration provided, blankets. Are you supposed to hide under them? You'll be protected from gunfire, explosives? What's that? Well, obviously, they do help with the temperatures in that region at this time of year. So we're providing this. But again, everything that I keep seeing in front of me, the Russia troop buildup I mentioned a moment ago, Belarus. Now many are saying that could be a jumping off point for Russia to invade Ukraine, especially the capital Ukraine, coming in from the north. Belarus sits to the north of Ukraine. And there are apparently no, at last report I've seen, no real buildup of Ukraine forces there. That might change. But they are more concerned about being right on the direct conflict area with Crimea and Russia to their eastern border. Now, trying to be proactive, as the general was saying, we need to be doing. The Biden administration says it's working to harden Ukrainian cyber defenses amid a warning of potential Russian cyber attack. The Biden administration apparently looking at a cyber attack as part of a broad-based Russian effort to destabilize and further invade Ukraine. That's according to a senior official speaking with Fox News. The White House Deputy National Secretary for Cyber and Emerging Technology is now en route to Europe to engage with U.S. allies in an effort to elevate security, cybersecurity, is a top-tier priority at NATO and the international partners. They'll be meeting in Brussels probably starting late tonight or tomorrow. So far, the U.S. has sent something like 500 tons of defense equipment, 84 tons of ammunition arriving in the Ukraine capital yesterday, and more might be going there. The talk again today, though, between Blinken and the Russian foreign minister, no real progress. This is what could be called the edge of war. This is similar to what we saw with Hitler in Germany when he wanted to go into Poland. Czechoslovakia. And the British and other countries, France, went to meet a summit with Hitler, and he assured them, we just want to reclaim that property that belongs to us. Yet others were saying, no, he has a much bigger plans. He won't stop with that. And that's the concern and issue with Russia at this point. The key is, while we're sending all these pieces of equipment in, and we're providing arms. The question that concerns many Americans, especially if they have sons or daughters in the military, are we going to put boots on the ground? Now, General King knows that there could be some need at some future, but he also suggests that is not what we want to do this time at this point.
Once we made the decision, and I think it's the right one, that we're not going to send U.S. troops in the Ukraine to defend them because they're not a NATO country, but we will help them defend themselves, then we should have been all in, gone down that shopping list and everything that's within reason and within the opportunity for them to train on it before the invasion, we should have been providing it.
And judging by what I just told you about what we are sending, we are doing some of that. And we're still doing the jawing, trying to avoid the war. But again, Russia, as I quoted Putin a moment ago, said their real demands, their real concerns are not being met. And that is, they do not want NATO expansion. They do not want NATO to take over Ukraine. And they want NATO to commit to never admitting Ukraine. And, of course, they want all European countries admitted to NATO since 1997, including Romania and Bulgaria, to pull back. That's not a good time to be starting a talk on those points. And then we have this other issue that General King mentioned in the beginning of the segment. We cannot be engaged on major conflicts in more than one spot at a time in the world right now. And the alliance is going on and building between Russia and China, coming up.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They have come closer together despite their historical differences. And the reason for that is they are fundamentally opposed to the international world order that the United States and Europe established post-World War II. They see that interfering in their desire to have their own sphere of influence. And their common enemy is the United States and the Western democracies. And that is what has brought them together. So there's more economic exchange. Russia is building a pipeline to China to export its natural gas to them. And certainly there's more military exercises than we have ever seen in the past. And their rhetoric, they support each other. China is supporting Russia, dealing with Ukraine. And certainly Russia has been supporting China's actions with Hong Kong and also with Taiwan.
Again, retired General Jack King on Fox News talking about the alliance that continues to escalate between Russia and China. You also heard him say in the previous segment, we cannot fight two fronts. We cannot be dealing with Russia and Ukraine, and then at the same time dealing with China and Taiwan, Hong Kong, and then there's a third player, North Korea. Over the weekend, North Korea testing a missile that flew so far it could have reached the U.S. territory of Guam in the South Pacific. That is North Korea's longest range test since 2017. The seventh such test this month. Why? Why is all this escalating now? You want one simple answer, one word answer? Biden. Biden is not showing control and strength, looking weak and effective to leaders across the world. First thing Obama did when he got in office, remember he went on an apology tour going to various countries around the world saying America has been a bad player on the world stage. And it's wrong to be nationalistic Nationalistic? Nationalistic means you care more about your country than others. That doesn't mean you want to destroy the others, but you damn sure want to protect your country. And yet, if you were a Trump supporter or a conservative or an independent or even a Democrat who believes in protecting this country, you're considered nationalistic and a bad player yourself. When Trump was in office, you did not see all this going on. We saw Crimea during Obama, and then everything went quiet for a while. And now Russia is pushing, China is pushing, and North Korea. They sense blood in the water. They may not get what they want, but they can cause enough confusion and chaos to get to our underbelly. And they've got plenty of, quote, support inside this country. Those who think the U.S., should just not be involved in anything but the U.S. Now, I'm not for being a police state for the world again. I don't want to do that. Don't be the policeman for the state. I don't want boots on the ground. But we've got to face some realities here, and it begins with the fact that we're looking too damn weak. The Beijing Olympics will open this Friday. My guest coming up, Ding Chen with Heritage Foundation, is an expert on China and its military. I got a lot of questions for him. You're going to want to hear his responses. Stand by, please.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest we've had on numerous times before, Dean Chen, an expert in China and its military and space capabilities. Dean, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you for having me.
I've got a lot of questions for you, and before I get into some of them, obviously going to involve the Beijing Olympics and that situation, but a report just crossed that the FBI director says the threat coming from the Chinese Communist Party, quote, is more brazen and more damaging than ever before. He said there's no country that presents a broader threat to the ideas, innovation, economic security of the U.S. than China. Your response?
Well, I think that the FBI director is correct. As part of the China initiative that DOJ has been pursuing for a number of years now, he has insight into how Chinese academics, Chinese cyber hackers, Chinese business are all engaging in a variety of intellectual property theft. And that's in addition to your general espionage and also the various Chinese efforts to obtain military secrets. So it's a very comprehensive threat. And coming from, sitting at the FBI, you ought to be in a position to see many of those tentacles.
Well, within that context, of course, we're talking about the Beijing Olympics, the Winter Olympics opening this Friday, opening ceremony. We're being told that U.S. athletes are told to leave your cell phones in the U.S. Don't take them over there. Anything you bring in could be hacked into, computer, phone, so forth. And I'm sure that's a possibility. But beyond that, even former Secretary of State Pompeo said we never, never should have gone ahead with the U.S. Olympic Committee and agreed to have this in Beijing to begin with.
Well, I mean, lots of things never should have happened, we are where we are. But absolutely. It's not just the athletes, right? If you are going to spectate, if you are going to China to watch the Olympics, if you are part of the if you're reporters and stuff, you will hopefully also leave your cell phones and your laptops and everything else at home because they will be hacked, accessed, and you will need to sanitize or throw it away when you come home.
Didn't I see a report just a couple of days ago that Beijing suddenly issued a new COVID alert and separating Olympians even farther apart, and some already being denied opportunities to participate in the opening ceremony, maybe even participate in the games because of COVID. This is going to be an Olympics like we've never seen or not seen before, in the sense that you can't communicate with the athletes, you can't really do this, can't do that, they can't do exchanges with each other.
I mean, it's going to be a very strange Olympics. It's an interesting question. For example, usually in other Olympics, you have sort of travelogue and lifestyle stories, right? What is the food like in Greece? Where are some of the other places you could go and tour things in Brazil? But the question here is going to be whether or not, in particular, American reporters are even going to try and tell stories about China other than what the Chinese government has approved.
So everything that we get, well, you can just bet it got signed off by the Chinese communists. Now, to that point, one of your fellow members of the Heritage Foundation, well, I'll come back to that in a moment. Let me get this quote from a former human rights activist in China, now a professor at the University of Chicago, says the 2022 Winter Olympics will be remembered as the Genocide Games.
Well, I'm not sure that that's quite going to be the case. It is certainly going to be thought of alongside Olympics and other dictatorships. The Soviet Union in 1980, you know, people already compare it to 1936 and Nazi Germany. The thing about the 1936 Olympics that people sometimes forget, though, is of course that this is when Jesse Owens won the gold medal, ran the pants off his Aryan competitors, and forced the Nazi leadership to award a gold medal to a black American. And to my mind, you know, since we are going to the Olympics with athletes, I can only hope that we dominate the Olympics so that the Chinese judges are going to have to hang gold medals around American necks.
Well, speaking about hanging things around necks, that gets back to the remembering this as a genocide game, in the sense of what's happening to the Uyghur Muslims. Reporters are not going to be venturing from Beijing, Olympian areas, to go check on how many Uyghur Muslims are being executed or pushed into slave labor. This is a Hunger Games in real life when it comes down to it.
Well, I mean, absolutely.
You're hesitant about that. Did I overcharacterize it? Correct me if I did.
No, the Chinese are not going to let anyone go out to Xinjiang. They are certainly going to not allow people to go and tour the outsides, much less the insides, of these camps that they – Orwellian description is that they're campuses and they're education centers. So absolutely. The question is, in other places, reporters have defied the central government, have been willing to risk their lives, their freedom, in order to report on stories. The question is whether or not that spirit lives on, or whether it's much more focused on reporting on the terrible things that occur in democracies and ignoring what happens in dictatorships.
The Heritage Foundation Asian Studies Center, I know you're familiar with them, Walter Lohman, director, said that this House of America's America Competes Act that Nancy Pelosi is pushing is really a Trojan horse. It's enabling the Chinese to get an upper hand on us. Would you explain, sir?
So a lot of the policies that are being pursued nominally to counter China either have nothing to do with China. It's a little bit like the infrastructure bill where you know, you have a $1 trillion price tag and a few paltry tens of millions of dollars actually being spent on infrastructure. And a number of the policies are, I mean, the part of this is a stealth approach towards establishing industrial policy, because somehow Washington, which can't get its arms around COVID, will manage the rest of the economy so much better than free enterprise companies, et cetera. And there's this weird almost desire to emulate places like China. Because, well, you know, the Chinese got COVID under control, so maybe we need something like a social credit score system. That's not in this bill. And China is, you know, has Huawei, so maybe we need an industrial policy like China, ignoring both the downsides of Chinese policies, the costs of Chinese policies, and the strengths in our own system.
To that point, the founder of the U.S. Tech Workers is quoted as saying that this anti-China bill offering Chinese, Indian, and other foreign graduates easy access to mainstream white-collar jobs that U.S. college graduates would like. He's saying this is a lobotomy for the American middle class, for the professional class in America. They're going to be muscled out by foreign people who are the preferred hires of corporations, universities. In other words, as you said, what's in it for the U.S.?
Well, I would feel a little more sympathy for his argument if there were more Americans who were willing to do the hard work of majoring in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM. Instead, our universities are busily, you know, producing, you know, scholars of transgender studies.
Yes.
While China and India and a whole lot of other countries, to be honest, are producing the engineers that we need. So I'm all for more Americans doing the programming jobs.
And in fact, universities like Harvard and so forth, basically anti-Asian, didn't, you know, the lawsuits underway dealing with that about discrimination. Now, earlier in this hour, we were listening to retired General Jack King say how China and Russia's needs and future are evolving closer and closer together and becoming a joint force against the U.S.
Well, we have seen some unprecedented joint exercises. West Joint 2021 saw Russian troops coming out of Chinese armored personnel carriers and handling Chinese weapons. That's a level of interaction that we don't see in our NATO allies. It's not like French troops come out of German armored personnel carriers. The thing that should be worrisome is that Russia has a fair amount of combat experience, eastern Ukraine, Georgia, Syria. And when they are exercising with the Chinese, presumably the Chinese are learning a lot of these lessons that the Russians have paid for with blood. I also want to point out something. Russia seems to have come to the conclusion that invading countries is an Olympic sport. In 2008, on the opening day of the Beijing Olympics, they went into Georgia. In 2014, during the Sochi Olympic Winter Olympics, they went and annexed Crimea. And, you know, now that we are looking at all this tension in Ukraine, we have the Winter Olympics opening up in Beijing. And there's this idea that, oh, of course, Russia wouldn't start a conflict during the Olympics, certainly not in Chinese Olympics, yet they've done it in the past.
And it starts Friday. Dean, thank you very much for your time, as always, sir, and your expertise.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Dean Chen with the Heritage Foundation. I don't normally do sports, but I do want to talk about a piece regarding the Baseball Hall of Fame and Tom Brady. Stand by, please.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I remind you, we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. You see all the mess of papers I got around me? There is some organization. You see these little green slips that I have on some papers? That's so I can find them in a hurry because there's too many. All right. Anyway, we're live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. We also invite you to subscribe to the channel or LarryConnorsUSA.com and get it in your mailbox each and every day. Cost you nothing. Be glad to have you join the rest of everyone else. So the Baseball Hall of Fame voting the other day. There's a piece written by the Federalist, or a contributor to the Federalist, also a writer for the New York Post, Jonathan Tobin, and it's titled the results of the latest election for Cooperstown, immortality, I can't even get the word out, immortality, showed the hypocrisy and bias of the voters. And actually, the full title is Baseball Writers Have Broken the Hall of Fame. What he's making reference to is that on their 10th, and I'm reading from his column, on their 10th and last year on the ballot, 10th and last year, if they're not accepted by then, they don't get back on, apparently. Two of the greatest players in the history of the sport, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, fell short again in the election to the Hall. Also not elected, Curt Schilling, who was arguably among the best postseason pitchers ever. Only one player on the ballot, David Ortiz, got the required 75% of eligible voters. And the question he's raising, why? He said, well, of course, Ortiz will be inducted in the Hall coming up this July with lesser former players compared to Schilling and Bond and Clemens. And he said part of it has to do with the role of performance-enhancing drugs that they were linked to at different times. They, he says, have failed to win election because they are rightly understood to have used PEDs, or performance-enhancing drugs, during parts of their careers. And many believe that should be enough to keep them out. They point out that Schilling was not a steroid cheat, but he lost enough of the voters believe that his political beliefs about Muslim extremism, transgender ideology, and his expressed hatred for journalists was the reason they said, no, we're not going to put him on. In other words, your performance had nothing to do with it. We don't like your attitude and your response. And reference the performance-enhancing drugs. Long before the rules were established, there were players doing that that are probably in the Hall of Fame. You should accept that fact. Do you think they have ruined the Hall of Fame now by leaving these players out going forward? So Tom Brady making it official today that he is retiring. And in the process, something interesting happened. He was doing his initial statement about walking away from the NFL after 22 seasons, seven Super Bowl titles. He spent most of the 22 seasons with New England. He was drafted by the Patriots and the 199th pick of the 2000 draft card. You're thinking, boy, did they overlook a gem in the dust there for a while. And then he replaced Drew Bledsoe as a starter in 2001, led the team to six Super Bowl titles. He went on to talk about all this, how tough it is. It's got to be mental. It's got to be full. You got to be fully involved. But I'm going to have to ask myself, I love my Bucks teammates, but I can't continue to give you what you need. In his retirement announcement, he didn't even mention New England Patriots and his time with the Patriots. Did not even mention. An intentional snub? An oversight? Really? An oversight? But as I said at the beginning of the hour, calling Colin Kaepernick, there's a quarterback position now open in Tampa Bay. Do you want to go try out, or you want to sit on the sideline and whine that, oh, I should get it, but they're not going to give it to me because of my color and my stance that I will not respect the U.S. flag? Jeez. Listen, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about police violence and how the White House just basically laughs it off. Literally laughs it off. And I'm also going to talk about the COVID cases that are going on right now, and suddenly one major city says, you know, we're done with it. We're not going to continue these restrictions. And then we've got all those people that claim as leaders, follow my lead when it comes to COVID, masking, and vaccinations. And they lie to you over and over again. We'll get into that. And before we wrap the hour, a crime that is horrific at every level, and it reached the point of being this kind of crime, and then the punishment that's issued after a 10-year-old girl is sexually assaulted in a public bathroom will make it clear to you that there's some in this country, they do not care about law and order. They want to take away your guns, but that's about it. Make sure you're here for the next hour. Thank you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.